This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
To the Carol Cox Show here at KWAI. We hope to have a pretty decent discussion today. As I said last week, have the African American Attorneys Association here, members from that organization, and we'll be discussing some of the local issues regarding the HTA, the Hawaii Tourism Authority, Mr. Rex Johnson, the man in which the Governor Linda Lingo has so carefully and crafted a request to have Mr. Johnson removed, and the other legislators, Mr. Calvin Say, Colleen Hanabusa, and all of those folks that had a lot to say when it was just passed on and represented as was just sexual content of the emails. Boy, did they have a lot to say, very verbose. And now, an interesting thing is they don't wish to talk. We've made requests for interviews. They are just downright disrespectful, won't even respond. I guess if you don't have the name CBS or ABC or can do something for them, they don't want to talk to you. But nonetheless, we're going to talk about it. But one of the biggest things that I wanted to share for the Donna Kim, Senator Donna Kim, just tracking back a bit. When the original statements came out about the emails with Rex Johnson, Donna Kim said that it would be such hateful insults as sending Al DeLima, Frank DeLima. She equated it to having Frank DeLima's tapes being sent out and it was no harm. The industry itself backed Rex Johnson. And they came out and I think some 50-something talked about how great of a man he was. But the problem is we're not hearing much from the people that were really, we hear a few. There's Mr. Pennybacher. Strange enough, the newspapers would find a way to him. And that reminds me of an old method in the South that they would do. They would run and get just one person and say, can you go in and tell the rest of the world that this person is a good man? And nonetheless, we don't want to talk about specifics as to what he did, but just go in and say that he's a good man, having little or nothing to do with anything. And for anyone out there that would reduce this or try to trivialize this whole process and to say that others were offended, and then walk away and say, well, it's okay, it was just a joke. Well, I will tell you, it was not a joke. It's never meant to be a joke. And for the HTA head, executive director, sending them out, collecting them, is absolutely wrong. And as an individual citizen and all of the above, I find myself offended, and I'm sure that I've talked to many friends and many people on the street, and they think the right thing to do is to just get rid of him. But in the process, get rid of the board. We need a new group of people. Clearly, we had a reduction, as some of the reports showed. There's a reduction in visitation here. We've lost airlines. We've lost on and on and on. So really, what is the board, the HTA, doing for us as citizens of the state, as taxpayers? they couldn't get together and have a single meeting to address this issue. So there's a lot to be said about maybe this Rex Johnson is a blessing in disguise, and that he just the tip of the iceberg. And if that's the case, we need to clean house completely. I have experienced some of the most horrendous receptions or rejections in the last month on this subject that one could possibly imagine. Let's start off. I requested documents from the Attorney General, or DBET. They look through the records. They finally give me all of the emails. And by the way, you can see those emails at carolcox.com. And while we're at it, if you want to call in, you can call at 524-1080. Anyway, I sent in the request, and just showing you the importance of the level of importance or lack of importance that has been assigned to this issue by our state officials and our governor. The Attorney General, and I'll try and walk you through this, when an entity requests documents, generally, in this case I was told specifically, the Attorney General reviews them, the Attorney General meaning the deputy or whoever, but they represent the Attorney General, reviewed these documents before they were released to me. Now, one of the really interesting things is that they withheld, they say 49 emails that were withheld, but they withheld, I know, approximately 32 emails with sexual content. And their reasoning, and I'll try making it brief, either the body of the email or in an attachment were deemed pornographic and therefore withheld in as much as distributing pornographic material pursuant to a public information request would frustrate the legitimate government function of impeding the distribution of pornography. Now, and that's it. That's the final statement. The problem there, they knew while reviewing and screening them for pornography and sexual content, they had in their little hands the racist content, the emails containing racism and bigotry and their hatred, and said absolutely nothing about it. But the funny part about it is they withheld approximately 32 emails. This is what they identified in a letter to me. 32 of them with sexual content because they were concerned with pornography, distributing pornography. But yet they released all of the emails, or several emails, I should say, with racist and bigoted and hatred content. So I don't really understand what their motivation is. And Mr. Calvin Say, there is a letter, and you heard me talk last time about June 25th, 2008, where the auditor discovers these emails. The auditor sits back and allows the governor, state senator, Calvin Say, and others, Nishihara, to run to the forefront and talk about it, but never said anything, and she should have made a public statement that says not only sex was contained in those emails, but there was a hatred and bigoted content. But she didn't do that. So I am really, at this point, I filed Freedom of Information, or UIPA, Uniform Information Practices Act, the Sunshine Act request for public records. And Calvin Say, Colleen Hanabusa, Marion Higa, just simply refused to release that document. What are they hiding? They've already talked about the sexual part, and they're going to punish him and reduce. They were eager to talk, but now when we ask them information, to release information or even give an interview, they simply refuse. So what's going on out there? I can get over the Rex Johnson bit, but I'm having a difficult time in recognizing or accepting that Colleen Hanabusa, Calvin Say, Marion Higa would hide behind a just convoluted practice of the explanation given, just simply It's unexplainable. And when you aid and give defense to a bigot or a racist, then I just have to tell you, you've done nothing more than enhance that person's stance and allow them to continue. And the whole purpose of our legislators in the executive branch and the state and the House is to keep watch over this kind of behavior and prevent it from our citizens being impacted. But anyway, as I said, I have members from the African American Lawyers Association, and Ms. Daphne Barbie Wooten, Mr. Andre Wooten, and Ms. Shana Pete. Good morning, and how are you? I've been sitting here just stumbling, trying to figure this whole mess out, because usually I don't get upset, but thank you for coming in.
Aloha.
Hi, thank you very much for having us this morning.
Yeah, well...
Hello.
It is interesting, the comments that you've made about the state auditor not being able to conduct a complete and full investigation of this matter. Usually Marion Higa, in other instances, has a reputation for being, you know, relatively thorough. So thorough that many people have been embarrassed and put in a compromising position. But in this particular case, while she focused on the pornography, there was no mention whatsoever of the racist and sexist emails, which were more than just a few that were displayed in Mr. Johnson's official Hawaii Visitors Bureau email file, and that is very troubling, very troubling.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to commend the advertiser reporter for uncovering this information, because had he not requested the emails, none of this would have been forthcoming, and Rex Johnson would have been business as usual. Unfortunately, the Hawaii Tourism Authority has not acted on the racist and sexist email, and they keep postponing their meetings for unknown reasons. Well, that's what they say, but when people are on island and it's a meeting that would only last, I would hope, 15 minutes, there's no excuse for them to be missing in action.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're commissioners. They took an oath to be commissioners and authorities, and they were appointed by the governors and government, mm-hmm. and one would think that they have an obligation to meet on something important as this, because it's the state's reputation which is at stake. He is the CEO of the Hawaii Tourism Authority.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly don't want a CEO to have the type of vile email, in addition to pornography, things referring to Hillary Clinton as the B word, referring to her as a hoe. I mean, things of that sort of, that's reprehensible. And you don't want somebody who's supposed to stand up and signify the state to have these types of emails and forward them on. So I would think that the Hawaii Tourism Authority would be embarrassed enough to have a meeting right away. And since Rex Johnson isn't embarrassed enough to resign and do the right thing, they need to do it for him.
Yeah. Well, Shana, you were speaking the other day, and you said you wanted to talk about the Rex Johnson, and I saw you had a couple of good comments. What would you like to share them?
Well, I'm pretty surprised that no action has been taken to date. You know, I guess I'm an eternal optimist, so I think, you know, for me, all I can do is hope that they're trying to give this the attention and the forethought that they need to give it, that they didn't give it when they knew it was just pornographic images. Because mm-hmm. I think if you're a person like most people in Hawaii or any other state, if you used your work email to publish and to forward, you know, pornographic images, mm-hmm. you'd probably lose your job. So I don't understand why he's any exception to this rule. And I'm, you know, I'm hoping that now that we know it wasn't just the pornographic images, it came down to blatant sexist images as well as racist images,
mm-hmm.
they're going to take the time and give it the forethought that it needs to do the right thing this time.
Well, one of the things that concerned me is that on that board is members of bigger corporations, and I think they bear the burden or the responsibility of coming clean, because I am personally going to be writing the CEOs, as I've written some, to say, if your board member, if a board member here works for you, then are these your views? Is this how
you run your company?
You run your company? So this thing just, it's like the little string hanging from the sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pull on it and maybe we'll expose the naked truth here. I am so sick and tired of looking at people and they say, well, we don't have racism here in Hawaii. Well, I look at my Marshall Island friends. I look at the people from Majuro and the people that are impacted by the atomic issues, and they get treated horribly. I look at the Hawaiian community, horribly. And we have senators, Calvin, Say, Hanabusa, and here they can't. They want to run and hide the bone, so to speak, on this issue and won't respond. It's time for them to do something, and this is a horrendous behavior on their part.
I would just like to add that in addition to the emails and pornographic images being racist and sexist, there's a classism issue going on here, because he's a CEO, he's the employer, the head of the tourism authority. Had this been an employee, a secretary, or a messenger, or clerical staff, or something, you know, an employee rather than the CEO, they would have been fired yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine any employer finding out that their employee was downloading pornographic images on their computer, using their computer on their time?
Mm-hmm.
They would be fired. And if they weren't fired, there would be a lawsuit from the other co-employees who saw this. So what is going on is it's okay for the head, the employer, the CEO to do this,
right.
But let an employee do this in your history.
Yeah. Andre, we were talking at the Capitol when there was the press conference with the NAACP.
Well, what it really strikes me as most curious about this is that as the head of the Tourist Bureau, this person is supposed to be a professional a PR man, you know, and so for him to spew out a string of racist, derogatory material is clearly an indication, you know, that he has problems with people, you know, with darker skin. You know, John Pennybacker's statement that he knows Mr. Johnson and consequently he knows he's a racist begs the fact as to whether or not John Pennybacker saw each and every racist email that Mr. Johnson has been sending out from his official email over the years. I believe that if Mr. Pennybacker actually saw this information, which the state auditor is trying to hide, and which the committee is trying to hide, and which the committee is apparently paralyzed in trying to deal with, then he must have another opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In these days in which the tourist visitors' arrivals have nosedived about 20%, we certainly need to be able to reach out to new communities and reach out to all individuals who can afford to make this kind of trip. And Mr. Johnson's email send out the picture that Hawaii really doesn't want people of color. We just want rich, white, and Japanese people over here, and to heck with the economy, we're not going to recruit and attempt to recruit everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And with the United States poised upon the dawn of a new administration, a new administration which has promised to bring change to deal with the debacle that the Bush administration has created on Wall Street and in the housing market, Mr. Johnson's comments clearly show that even though he's a Democratic appointee, he is supporting the Republican McCain and that tired old message of the same old way of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing as how that same old way of doing business has bankrupted us, it's time for a change.
You know, we have some bigger issues here in the state of Hawaii, and it just didn't pop up on the radar with Rex Johnson. You look at the ceded land issues. You look at, I equate OHA, for example, to the John Pennybacher. And, Mr. Pennybacher, if you're out there, I would welcome a call from you, or I don't want to sit here and discuss you without you being privy to or wanting to participate. And if anyone knows him out there, please, if you could, or he can call the next show and we'll... But I want to be extend a courtesy to him. But I equate this whole practice of going to Mr. Pennybacher. Now, I've written to the newspapers. I've posted. I have one matter posted on my the betrayal of a community. And I've sent all of this to the media. And they didn't call me. But they called Pennybacher. And I think I've seen him twice in two issues. And that reminds me of the old days in Mississippi where... All you need to do, as Daphne and I were talking earlier, you out there, you can probably find a woman that would say, oh, I don't mind someone calling me the B word. But it's not going out and asking one person to stand up and testify for a man's entire life, his entire mental makeup, is just absolutely absurd. And it's shameful. And I think I would like to see... The Advertiser did a good job. I'd like to see the Star Bulletin and all of take up the issue on what is Colleen Hanabusa doing? What is Calvin Say doing? Are they going to have a hearing? I've called each senator and asked them to personally have a hearing. And one of them told me, well, I don't know anything about this issue. You know, so because it's they equate it to being a black issue. And we need to get away from that because... we as a community, period, whether you're black, Hawaiian, Filipino, or whoever, you deserve the respect and the protection from the laws, and you don't want to be victimized by the legislators.
Right. It reminds me of that saying where in Germany, during Nazi Germany, you had people who weren't Jewish saying, well, I don't know anything about it, but first they came for the Jews, then they came for the gays, then they came for others, the gypsies. And so... You can't just say, well, it doesn't affect me, you know, or mm-hmm. I don't know anything about that, or turn the blind eye, because you could be the next victim.
Right.
I would like to know who the legislator is that said they didn't know anything about that, because that shows that they're not keeping up with the news.
It's Suzanne Chan Oakley.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, again, I was starting to walk through this thing, how it developed and how it's been explained to me, but initially... The board represented, oh, we reviewed all the emails and did a thorough review and what have you. Now we're finding that it really didn't do anything. So why the shibai? Why the big lie, right? But I personally experienced something in 2005 where down at the harbors I was doing some research and investigation on different matters down there in the harbor, the Kewalo Basin and around. And... someone apparently didn't like what I was doing, and there was a matter of some following up on some things of people being treated improperly. And they wrote F-U and the N-word, right, on a big, it's blazing on the electrical box in the state harbor. Now, I wrote Linda Lingle and CC'd a copy to all the officials. You know, that was 2005. I never got a single acknowledgement. So they don't value something as blatant as this. Never even responded. So this isn't anything new. So I was taken aback when she was out. We want him to, he should resign, and he's the scum of the earth. I'm just adding to her. But again, she didn't get excited. So whether, if it's a Jewish matter, we should... just bang the person for whoever is discriminating or practicing hatred or whatever. If it's hatred toward Filipinos, Hawaiians, there shouldn't be any tolerance. What's that, zero tolerance? Shouldn't have any tolerance.
Well, I saw the thing that was good last weekend when we were in Waikiki protesting, you know, this very incident with Rex Johnson. I thought it was pretty notable that it was a diverse group that was out mm-hmm. there. I mean, primarily there were African Americans there, but I mean, there were some Hawaiians and some Asians, and I do think there is a small minority that understands it's an issue that crosses the color line, because you never know when your turn and when you're going to need support is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think we have to capitalize on that. But prior to being down there and seeing it firsthand, I can't say that I would have expected that.
Mm-hmm.
But that did make me hopeful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, Andre, you are an attorney here, and you've been successful, you and Bob, Daphne and Pete. You've been successful in some of the cases. So could one conclude that there is proof that there is discrimination, a racial discrimination? Would I be going too far?
Well, each particular case kind of relies upon its own particular facts, and certainly there have been a number of cases in which juries have found that there has been discrimination in Hawaii, and there have been a whole lot more cases that have been settled confidentially. You know, besides that, I think one thing is that the Hawaii Tourist Bureau has always, you know, kind of been considered to be kind of a special organization off to itself. Kind of like its own plantation, and the insulation of that organization and its independence is something that's rather coming back to bite them.
Mm-hmm.
If one looks at the pattern of racism that's displayed within Rex Johnson's own emails, the ones that he chose to send out, one would have to have concern as to whether or not he was contracting the state's money on a fair and equal basis with those who wanted to do business with the Hawaii State Tourist Bureau. I mean, I have heard that African-American advertisers, publishers, have been turned down flatly by Mr. Johnson, saying that, you know, we're not seeking to do business with your community. And those kinds of things, with regard to the spending of state money, I should think should be a matter of concern to the board, to the senators, as to whether or not there was a discriminatory pattern in the contracting of the Hawaii State Tourist Board.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to add to that that there have been a number of cases wherein juries have found there's been race discrimination towards
mm-hmm.
African Americans and race discrimination, sex discrimination towards women.
Mm-hmm.
The largest verdicts happen to be sex discrimination in
mm-hmm.
Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But I recently tried a case in the federal court against Department of Homeland Security, Michael
mm-hmm.
Chertoff, and the jury was non-black.
Mm-hmm.
And they found in favor of my client, who's a black African-American,
mm-hmm.
who worked at TSA in Honolulu Airport, and they found that he was discriminated against. But the problem is it takes 3 to 4 years to bring a case to trial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very expensive as well to bring a case to trial. And a lot of people don't want to spend the time and the energy and the money to have a fair decision. And sometimes they don't win.
Mm-hmm.
But when you win big. So, unfortunately, it seems to be the only way some employers learn is through lawsuits, that it doesn't pay to discriminate.
Right. Well, we're going to take a break. This is the Carol Cox Show, 524-1080, and we're going to get back here with talk about tossed salads or the melting pot. Shana, you mentioned the other day, Andre, you talked about, is this really a melting pot? You had another description for it, but we'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show.
If you're like me, you're looking for ways to save money on gas and help the environment. That's why you want to know about the EPA Smart Driving Tips. Tips that could give you more miles per gallon of gas and reduce air pollution. Like making sure your tires are properly inflated. And replacing your air filter regularly. Oh, where possible, accelerate and brake slowly. Slowly. And did you know that for every 5 miles you go over 65 miles per hour, you're spending about 20 cents more per gallon of gas? Also, if you're shopping for a new car, choose the cleanest, most efficient vehicle that meets your needs. If we each adopt just one of these tips, we'd get more miles for our money and breathe a little easier. For more tips and to compare cleaner, more efficient vehicles, visit www.epa.gov/greenvehicles.
Say your party's jumping, and everybody's having a good time. And you know what's going through my mind. Do you mind if I get comfortable? and kick off these shoes. While you fixing me a drink, baby, some of them down home blues. She said, you know, I don't get out much on the town. And you know,
welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. You can pick us up at podcasts at carolcox.com, CARROLLCOX.com. Shana and Andre and Daphne, thank you for being here. But tell me about this melting pot. You folk had a discussion shared with me about your opinion of the melting pot here in Hawaii.
I'm newer to Hawaii. I've only been here about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I find it very interesting that everywhere you go, Hawaiian folks seem to take pride in telling you that you live in a melting pot. And, you know, I come from Tennessee. I grew up 5 miles from Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have a different view of what I see when I'm here. And I think that it's very stratified on levels of class and on levels of race. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of things that happen here that were you on the mainland would not go unnoticed and definitely would not be tolerated, that kind of are the norm here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't particularly care for it when people refer to it as a melting pot. I think of it's more of a tossed salad. Everyone's just kind of jumbled up in here, but there's no cohesion and there's no, maybe there is an assimilation, but it's kind of a conspiracy of silence more than it is we're taking the best parts of one another and forming something new.
Right.
Hawaii is a unique and beautiful place, and you know, one experiences the dichotomy and the diversity of the rainbow here. You know, there's a lot of people with a vast aloha spirit, and then there are others who are just trying to carve out territory and power for them and themselves alone. And I think that's what we see, you know, with the Tourist Bureau, carving out, you know, this little fiefdom with government money to run their little operation the way they seem to see fit. And it just seems to strike one of maintaining a plantation system insofar as there is not free contracting with all of the business groups in the country, and there seems to be an intentional decision not to recruit the affluent African-American population on the mainland. I'm talking about conventions of African-American doctors, lawyers, dentists, and professionals.
And it's funny you bring that up. The first time that I came to Hawaii, I was 6 years old, and it was for the National Bar Association, which my dad was a member. And I think that speaks exactly to what you're saying. At some point, perhaps it was a priority, and that's when I fell in love with Hawaii. I enjoyed it so much. I remember from being six, I thought it would be great to live here. And it's that kind of exposure that does open the door. I mean, I guess I'm a product of the very same thing we're talking about here with the Hawaii Tourism Authority. But I do think nowadays that's dried up. And it does show that, you know, where there was maybe once a conscious effort to reach out a hand, it's no longer there.
Well, it's difficult to see, you know, a person like Rex Johnson who, you know, has displayed and revealed this pattern of, you know, racially derogatory emails reaching out to these upscale African-American professional organizations in order to negotiate conventions with those types of people.
Right.
Well, you know, speaking of Rex Johnson, Ms. Hanabusa, I guess, or one of the state representatives, there is no evidence that Mr. Johnson went and searched the web and did any of this on his own. If he is guilty of anything, he is guilty of being friends with his buddies, his fishing and his baseball buddies. And I think his baseball and fishing buddies will not send him any emails, Hanabusa said.
Well, you know, number one, these emails could have been given to Rex Johnson on his own personal computer. I had to give them his business computer email for them to send him that. And he could have sent them an email back saying, this is inappropriate. Don't send me this type of email at my workplace, which he didn't do.
Right.
Isn't that significant? Or don't send me pornography while I'm CEO of the Tourism Bureau. But he didn't do that. He downloaded it and read it and forwarded it to his friends. And that forwarding also is another separate act. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in addition to receiving, you forward. So this isn't a situation where many people receive unsolicited emails, or especially pornographic emails, because sometimes people send pornographic emails to my business place because they're blind sending. But of course, I'll delete it or block it. I mean, they have all kinds of ways of blocking unwanted, unsolicited emails these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have antivirus, Norton's, any types of tools to stop this. He didn't utilize that. And if he's a CEO and doesn't know about Norton's, and doesn't know about how blocking emails,
and about not hitting forward.
Hello?
Yeah.
No. If this was an employee, he'd be fired. But because he's a CEO, people are backing him. And it's very odd because Colleen Hanabusa, my understanding is she was the chair for Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
How does she feel about her candidate being called a B-I-C-T-H or an H-O-E or being called a beaver? Would she want her daughters or her sisters or her mother to be referred to in those terms by a CEO of a major company or a business, or a CEO who's making $200,000 a year for the tourism? I don't think so. That's very offensive. Now, true, as you mentioned, there may be one woman out there who would come forward and say, I don't mind being called this, but the vast majority of professional women who have fought very hard for their rights and fought very hard to maintain some sort of dignity and equal rights in America today do find this type of referral to them to be offensive.
And I wanted to touch back. We were talking about Mr. Pennebaker, you know, mentioning that this is an isolated incident and it doesn't really address Rex Johnson's character. I don't know another way to start, you know, we don't know, technically you don't know anyone, you know.
Right.
But the best ways that we get to know each other is through actions and through interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a public figure, you don't necessarily have interactions with every single member of the public. However, you're disseminating your actions and your behaviors to us through different media like the radio or the television. And I think that this is a very good way for us to see the content of this character. It's through his actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it lets us know what type of man he is and what his beliefs are.
We wouldn't have this discussion, believe it or not, if Marion Higa had stood up to the plate and been as thorough, and when they represented, she allowed them to represent. It was just sex, number one. If Linda Lingle hadn't or still refuses to say to the Attorney General, how dare you screen emails and don't see, I need a new Attorney General. We don't hear that, you see. So this is why I say this whole thing is bogus as to she steps up to the plate and he should be fired. She had a reason to know, a cause to know, through her Attorney General, because the process of when the public records are requested, you have to redact and look at them. How could they overlook that? So then you have Hanabusa and Calvin Say and Donna Kim running out and spreading the word to say, oh, it's just a minor thing. It's not that big. He's a good guy. We're not talking about good guys at this moment. We're talking about a community being offended with racist and sexist. And there were some contents in the emails were about George Bush that says, 10 good reasons for George Bush, he's killed a number of Arabs.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, that, to go out and defend that, it's absolutely shameful.
Kind of reminds me of the old joke, what's the definition of minor surgery? Well, minor surgery is when they operate on somebody else. So all of these individuals who see this racist email, they think, well, gee, he's not talking about me, so consequently, I'm not going to be upset. Well, we're upset about the fact that they're not upset about the fact that there is a pattern and the policy that's demonstrated in the frequency of the emails. Now, we all know that spam is reality, and so nobody is criticizing Mr. Johnson for receiving these emails.
Mm-hmm.
However, everybody knows the reasonable thing would have been to delete them, but when he goes and forwards those emails, then he adopts them, then he endorses them, and then he puts the stamp of the Hawaii State Visitors Tourist Bureau on that, because that's what's going to be on his return email. The real question is, what is the real number of these racist and sexist emails? Myself, I've only seen about a dozen, but I understand that there are more.
And I understand they were on different dates, so it isn't a single isolated incident.
Right. But we have a call for the three lawyers from Steve. Steve, you there?
I listened to all this. This brings up in my memory about Bob Alana, Lingle's chief of staff. I'm still waiting for the attorney general for Lingle to produce his emails where perhaps would implicate state officials who went to the Philippines, and Bob Alana and his teenage girlfriend were setting up teenage prostitutes with these officials. I wonder why these emails are not being produced. Where's the Freedom of Information Act? Maybe it's another job for you, Mr. Cox. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Go ahead, guys. Steve is...
Well, I have, and I appreciate the comment, I have heard about that situation, and it appears as though the gentleman was allowed to resign relatively quietly, and you're right. Under the Freedom of Information Act, there should be a full disclosure, but it does not appear as though we're getting that, because that gentleman stepped down more than 6 months, almost a year ago. And despite the efforts of newspaper writers and others, there has not been a full disclosure of how many other state officials were involved in his parties.
Right. You mentioned the other day about the radio and racism in radio in the media. What were you specifically?
Well, I just noticed a pattern. You know, mm-hmm. In the morning, I live out on the west side, so I have a pretty long commute.
Mm-hmm.
First off, as a black American, I'm pretty... I take note of the fact of how many hip-hop stations there are here in Hawaii, and it kind of makes me chuckle. But on those stations, every single day I can hear something that is offensive to me as a black American.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a station where I feel like I should be celebrated and lifted up, but day after day after day, the different disc jockeys are making fun of black people. Like, there is a black voice that they do every single morning when a black caller calls in, and as soon as that person calls in, they'll start talking like this and that, mocking the caller who's showing their support by calling into the show.
Right.
Or, you know, one of the incidents that particularly touched me, for some reason I felt really, really sad and very connected with Kanye West when his mother passed away earlier this year. And, you know, on these radio stations, and I believe this one was 93.9. But on these radio stations, they play his music. You know, we only get six songs, and his is one of the six songs that they'll play all the time. And the day after his mother passed, or the same day the news broke, one of the DJs made the comment that, well, maybe this way, this will shut him up, and he won't be so arrogant and so proud.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another DJ that comes out of L.A. that I can't particularly stand either, and even he stood up and just said, hey, that man's mother died today.
Right.
And I can't allow you to say that without me telling you that's way out of line.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had kind of a little chuckle and then just moved on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just feel like day after day after day, I'm hearing these horrible things about people like me in a place where, you know, on a station where I feel like we should be lifted up.
Right. Well, I hear a lot of the jokes on radio, and having come from a climate where every little thing becomes baggage, even a joke, it stereotypes you. And if I hear another person, especially like Donna Kim, the senator, who equates this to DeLima, Frank DeLima's jokes are sick. They insult. I have many friends that are Filipino, and if I didn't have any, I would still think it was insulting. You don't entertain yourself or others at the expense of a people, a community. And to tell Filipino jokes and to tell Japanese jokes, it's just sick, it's wrong. And when a senator stands up to the plate, I then have to ask, what elementary school did she not go to? You know, because you learn in elementary school, especially here in Hawaii, that we're all equal and we all share that, and we all learn stupidity as we get older, and then we get become senators, and then we learn to shield bigots and racists, and then we stand out. And when someone like myself called, or you call, to ask them a question, oh, they cite you the law, or they pretend that there's a law. You know, it's absolutely sick. And so they don't call you the N-word and say, I don't know about you folk, but my problem with that, they've taken the N-word out of the vocabulary, right? As if everything is fine, so we should all go back to sleep. The problem is, it's pervasive, it's prevalent here, and we have problems here in Hawaii.
Well, like I said, I grew up 5 miles from Mississippi. I've never had an issue with somebody using that word to me, at me, near me, until I moved to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I came to Hawaii to be called the N-word, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, I still have never had someone call it at me.
Right.
But I've had more people. I've had white people. I've had Asian people. I've had, you know, Hawaiian people that use that word freely in my presence.
Mm-hmm.
As a black person, that's a word that, you know, I understand other black people use it. I'm not going to tell them not
right.
to use it. I don't use it.
Right.
I've grown up enough around other cultures to where I don't feel like I want to give them the license to think that you can use that word with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a population where maybe everyone has an understanding, or you're among brothers, perhaps that's a different situation. I don't have that luxury.
Right.
I live in a pretty diverse world.
Right.
So I don't use it. But when I got to Hawaii, I find that people are more than comfortable. I went to buy a car a few weeks ago, I was telling Daphne, and the man sat me down talking about cars and then felt the need to explain to me how there are good black people and then there are ins.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went down this whole education for me about how, you know, there's this and there's that, all in buying a car.
And okay.
And really was proud of himself.
Now, what model of car was this? That's a,
you know,
what triggered that?
Yeah, it was his own dealership, so it was a little private car lot, you know, so it wasn't a particular brand.
Yeah.
Well,
but
I have to remember the name. I would call it, but I can't remember it. It was in Kalihi.
I've severed acquaintances and friendships because, specifically, I've had people who get so cozy with me and to start talking about white people,
mm-hmm.
or being how they hate white people. And it's like, wait, stop. In this world, in my world, hatred is not tolerated at any degree against anybody, right? And so you across the board, and there's a classic one that I learned, and I've heard it several times, and that is, you know, when I go to the mainland, bro, they treat me like I'm one of yous, or one of the N-words. What does that mean? You know? So it's shameful. what, and our legislators are willing to play this game and then go abroad with the aloha spirit while we're kicking people out of the park. Housing is diminishing. We're treating native people as if they've committed a crime for being native. And in turn, we say, we don't have any racism here. But our policies and our issues, and we'll vote for a Mufi Hanneman, who in turn, they're just as comfortable now as a guy in a white robe in Mississippi, because they got Mufi Hanneman to do what they wouldn't dare to do, is that is inflict injury on innocent people that are either homeless, that are mentally ill, or whatever, right? But it's easy to do this.
True.
The 6 o'clock news, you know, tends to, for me, sort of encapsulize the establishment viewpoint of the world affairs and the look of Hawaii. Occasionally one sees an African-American reporter, although I can't say I've seen one recently, but rarely does one ever see a beautiful brown-skinned Hawaiian newscaster. One has to go to Nanakuli or the Big Island or Maui or some place like that in order to see, you know, a real traditional Kanaka Hawaiian. But you rarely see them actually on the news. And that doesn't even begin to talk about the worldview that's being displayed when you don't have the native Hawaiian worldview being displayed upon the news. But it's something that's been ongoing here in Hawaii during the 30 years that I've been here. Thank God for public access so that some people can begin to get their own stories out. But the news establishment kind of reflects the same sort of attitude as the Hawaii Tourist Bureau. Mm-hmm. And it's time for more diversity in both areas.
Yes, why doesn't the Hawaii Tourism Authority hire a CEO who is Hawaiian for Hawaii?
Right.
That's a big question. Instead of getting somebody from the mainland that has hunting buddies that proliferate racism and sexism.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to see a Hawaiian face there in the Hawaii Tourism Board?
You know, a lot of tourists come to Hawaii and they say, where are the Hawaiians?
Right.
They always ask me that. Take me to where the Hawaiians are, because we don't
see
them.
Don't go down to Waianae.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You hear them, don't go to Waianae. What you shouldn't do is go to anywhere that Rex Johnson stays. You know, and that's the problem. And is there racism in Hawaii? I'll stand up and say yeah, and I will say that when you're in a nation of people that you've overthrown, and it's the overthrow is painful. It is the manner in which they're trying to address it or willing to just ignore it and not do what's right. Is that racism? I don't know what you define it as, but it still has a negative impact. But anyway, I thank each of you for coming, Daphne, Shanna, Andre, and this is the Carol Cox Show. Anything you guys want to say?
Thank you so much for giving us a voice. Thanks for having us today. I hope you write letters or call your senators and the Hawaii Tourism Authority and right. Make sure we stop this racism in Hawaii.
And go ahead.
Thanks for having us, Carol. I believe that the Johnson racism on the Hawaii Tourist Board is something that the board is trying to ignore and have go away. But with people like you and the reporter on the case, this issue will stay alive until they do something about it.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you coming. And what really needs to happen here is that the senators and the governor and the House of Representatives ask for an independent investigation into this. And I'm not going to stop. I'll chew their leg off until they do. Okay. Aloha. This is Carol Cox.
is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.